Live from San Francisco on the Sports Byline Broadcasting Network, you are listening to Wrestling Observer Live with your hosts, Brian Alvarez and Mike Sempervivi.
Are you ready?
Let's get it on!
How's it going, everybody? Brian Alvarez here on Wrestling Observer Live. We are here every day, Monday through Friday, noon Pacific, 3 Eastern, Sunday, 3 Pacific, 6 Eastern, Sports Byline USA Radio Network, Sirius Satellite Radio, the American Forces Network, Cable Radio Network, iHeartRadio, iTunes, TuneIn Radio. List goes on and on, the most listened to daily pro wrestling and mixed martial arts radio show in the world. Sunday here on the program, and that means that tomorrow it is Monday Night Raw. Monday Night Raw, the final show before, yes, the Clash of the Champions pay-per-view. If you feel like we just talked about a WWE pay-per-view, you're right. We are now doing two pay-per-views a month as WWE fans. There is a SmackDown exclusive pay-per-view and a Raw exclusive pay-per-view. SmackDown's was last week and Raw's is next week. And so that means tomorrow on Raw, it is the go-home episode of the program. That means that we are going to figure out who is going to be challenging for the new WWE Cruiserweight Championship, held by the winner of the Cruiserweight Classic, TJ Perkins. That's going to be taking place on the show tomorrow night. We'll talk about the Cruiserweight Classic, the Cruiserweights moving to Raw, and more, as well as look at everybody's favorite Raw 5-point preview here on the show today. We could also talk about last night's UFC Fight Night 84. Nothing you really need to go out of your way to see, but there was some excitement on that show. We could talk about that, as well as Randy Orton back in action. All of those questions that I had about Randy Orton, I no longer have to ask. He has been cleared of his concussion, and it does look like he was cleared of his concussion last Tuesday, which means the storyline where he was attacked and beaten down by the Vintner and then delivered the RKO, I believe he was cleared to compete when he did that angle. So at least that answered one question that we have had here. Mike Sempervivi is going to be joining us on the show. We're going to be taking your phone calls, emails, and text messages. The studio line today, 425-488-0525. Toll-free, 844-411-5411. And you can send your text messages to 425-780-7566. A lot of phone calls and emails coming up here today. Wrestling Observer Live, Sports Byline USA Radio Network.
If you or someone you love suffers from drug addiction, now is the time to utilize your private health insurance PPO plan. If eligible, receive up to $30,000 or more in substance abuse benefits with low or no out-of-pocket cost. We are the National Treatment Network, the premier drug and alcohol treatment referral service operating 24/7. We help connect you with facilities nationwide that accepts PPO private health insurance for substance abuse. If you have PPO substance abuse coverage and you need immediate admittance to a medical detox or residential rehab treatment center, call us now. Call our live referral helpline today. The call is free. This program is not available to Medicare or Medicaid customers.
Call 800-296-0906. 800-296-0906. 800-296-0906. That's 800-296-0906.
$100 million in jury verdicts and settlements for serious injury victims, medical malpractice victims, and surviving family members of wrongful death victims. Trial Lawyers for Justice. This is a firm that does not handle frivolous lawsuits. They go after insurance company money, and they're darn good at it. They don't sell their clients out or settle cheaply. Trial Lawyers for Justice, the firm that goes the distance for you, their client. They treat their clients the way you would want your own family members taken care of. Nicholas Rowley, Dominic Pachota, and the other trial lawyers in the firm at Trial Lawyers for Justice, dedicated to representing the people and their families in Iowa, Minnesota, South Dakota, Wisconsin, Illinois, California, Wyoming, and many other states. Trial Lawyers for Justice. $100 million in settlements and jury verdicts already in 2016. 888-811-0844. TL4J.com. Trial Lawyers for Justice.
Rebuild or replace transmission, $3,200. Anti-lock brake system, $1,000. Rebuild or replace engine, $2,400. Truth is, once your manufacturer's warranty runs out, it's all on you. Every last cent. Get protection for covered repairs with a vehicle service contract from Toco Warranty. Unlike other companies, with Toco, there's no down payment, and the monthly payments are really affordable. Not sure how long you're keeping your car? At Toco, you can pay as you go. Keep your hard-earned cash and call Toco Warranty right now at 800-222-2313 to save big money on covered auto repairs. Prices vary by vehicle, but for about the cost of a tank of gas per month, a Toco plan has your back on expensive covered car repairs. Monthly payments are very affordable. Get your free quote now. Call Toco at 800-222-2313. That's 800-222-2313. 800-222-2313. Cancellation fee may apply. Subject to eligibility. Not available in Missouri and Washington. Waiting period and deductible apply. Coverage provided and administered by Warren Tech Corporation or its affiliates. Not affiliated with any manufacturer or dealership. Visit TocoWarranty.com for complete terms and conditions.
You are listening to Wrestling Observer Live with Brian Alvarez and Mike Sempervive on the Sports Byline Broadcasting Network.
We're back here on Wrestling Observer Live. Brian Alvarez here, WrestlingObserver.com. We are joined by Mike Sempervive, also of WrestlingObserver.com. Going to take your phone calls, emails, text messages, talk some news today, show reviews, everyone's favorite Raw 5-point preview. But first, yes, I must do a plug. The Death of WCW audiobook is now available. And it's available all over the place. You can grab it on Amazon.com. You can grab it through Audible. You can grab it through iTunes. If you've got an iPhone, you can just go right up to iTunes and grab it there as well. It is super easy. And if you can handle more of me, 15 hours of audio as I read The Death of WCW cover to cover. It's available right now. Tons of people have ordered. Want to thank everybody very, very much for going up there and ordering. Since everyone appreciates my analogies, I'm going to give quite the analogy here for putting this book together. It's like childbirth.
Yeah?
Didn't expect that one, did you?
I'm
going to tell you why. So I was in the room when my wife gave birth. Right there. With a midwife. Sat there and didn't quite catch the baby, but I kind of did. Cut the cord myself. Very, very bloody. It was a long... The word that I would use to describe it, quite frankly, despite it being the miracle of life, it was harrowing.
Laborious?
Harrowing.
Harrowing.
Mm-hmm. Now, here we are 6 months later. Beautiful daughter. She says, da-da-da-da.
Mm-hmm.
Pulling herself to stand, crawling around. We just built this little plastic play castle for her. Mm-hmm. Anyway, point is, it's been 6 months. This is a distant memory. And quite frankly, we'll do it again. Very much like putting this book together. It was not quite as harrowing as childbirth. Don't get me wrong. But for everybody that thinks, you know, all you got to do is read a book. What's the big deal? Well, let me tell you something. Read a 15-hour book... And don't make one mistake, because if you make one mistake, if you say a word wrong, if you skip a word, if you say the wrong word, you got to stop, you got to delete it, and you got to go back, and you got to do it again. And of course, the longer you've been doing this, the more of these mistakes you make. So anyway, I once thought that writing the book was one of the hardest things I'd ever done. Doing the audiobook was even harder. But you know what? It's now been months and months, and it, like childbirth, has become a distant memory. And if somebody called the show and said, hey, Brian, I really like the audiobook. You gonna do another one? I'd say, you know what? I probably will. But man, years taken off my life recording that audiobook. So I so thank everybody who has ordered and appreciated it, because I put my soul into it. I cannot squeeze a baby out of my body. But I can recite an audiobook. It's the closest thing I've come to, as terrible as that sounds.
You're just lactating with it all right now. You could have asked one of your friends or possibly other employees here who, you know, could be doing some voiceover work.
Oh God, Mike.
Could have asked.
you'd kill me if I made you do this.
I understand because I know as you were going through the process, I actually thought the next picture I saw of you was going to have gray hair. I didn't realize it was that bad. I asked you, I think, you know, is RD doing any of this? And you heartily laughed before I thought almost going to break into tears. Why isn't RD on this?
Well, RD lives a long way away. And
so audio makes it impossible in this day and age.
I could have flown out here, but I just did the. Here's the thing. It's very much like when I wrote the book. I've told this story before, but when I signed the book deal originally in 2005 and I told Dave about it, Dave goes, "Hey, you could whip that thing out in 3 weeks."
And if you were Dave, I guess you could have, right?
But my big mistake was listening to him. So I waited and I waited and I waited. And then I realized I got to get this book done. And suffice to say, you do not whip out a book in 3 weeks unless you are Dave Meltzer. Now, I will say that practice makes perfect. It's like everything in life. I think if I did another audiobook, it'd be a hell of a lot easier than this first one. But the first one was very hard. But hey, it's done now. Amazon.com, iTunes, Audible. If you head up to my Twitter right now, the link is pinned up there at the very top. So grab it, everybody. Check it out. And enjoy the story of the death of what was, at one time, no joke, the biggest wrestling company in the history of the world. It was bigger at its peak than WWF had ever been. And 3 years later, by the way, it was dead and in the grave, sold for $2.5 million. So keep that in mind as we sit here and we rant about Raw and how much it sucks and the declining ratings. And everyone goes, "Oh, just sit back and enjoy it, Brian." Yeah, I heard that in 1998. And then 3 years later, those people just quit watching because their favorite company died. Anything could happen in this business.
Mm-hmm.
Decisions are made in boardrooms. And they can affect the history of professional wrestling, just like they did in 2001. That's my plug. Let's see what's on everybody's mind. We got a lot of news today, but this person's been waiting on hold, and I bet I know who it is. You're on the air. What's going on?
This is Ryan from Cumberland, Maryland.
Yes, Ryan.
I have a question about something that happened at an indie show I went to last night. It's called Dominion Championship Wrestling. I had a lot of star wrestlers like Lex Luger and Road Warrior Animal advertised, and they did show up. What was weird was the promoter ran out of money to pay the wrestlers, and some of the wrestlers ended up not wrestling, like Brutus Beefcake and Greg Valentine. So my question is, how does this still happen to wrestlers that have been in the business for like 40 years that they're not able to tell a bad promoter from a good promoter?
Wrestlers are like seagulls. Go ahead, Brian.
Hey, go ahead. Explain how wrestlers are like seagulls. J.J. Dillon's book.
Hey, this is... I will also match this up and just bring up before I go on, and people will be able to figure out a story from Del Wilkes, who actually put this up on Twitter, or his wife, I think, may have, where he talked about a legend show being run in the middle of nowhere, I believe it was in Georgia, down like a long backwoods road. And I'm expecting him to bring up names, you know, small southern guys from the indie scene who were there as quote unquote legends. And he brings up names like Arn Anderson and the Million Dollar Man Ted DiBiase and a bunch of guys who are in like an abandoned church. And the lure of money is what does it, especially if there's a promoter who actually has got some money up front that is willing to send out an advance, maybe a plane ticket or something like that. But a lot of these people are depending on other people to front the bill for them. And when it gets down to brass tacks, you know, these things happen. And I guess if you're a wrestler, you try to make the best of it for the people who are there. You try to push your wares the best as possible. But usually you're just trying to shake down the promoter, get him to get any money he possibly can, and go to the bank before anybody else if it's a check. And if it's cash, just get the hell out of there.
That's the key. I'm sure some of these guys might have got advances. They got their plane ticket paid for. Maybe they got their room paid for in advance. So at the end of the day, I mean, you don't get paid, but if you don't work on the show, you got a free flight out. You got an advance. You got something. I'm not justifying it, obviously. But it's not like they flew there on their own dime and then got screwed and ended up losing a ton of money on the deal. It sucks. I don't know how it happens in 2016. I have no idea. I guess just maybe he'd been a trustworthy promoter before, and then who knows what happened. And I don't even know the story, so don't get mad at me. Ryan was there. I was not. To the phones, you're on the air. What's up?
This is Josh in OKC.
Yes, Josh.
I know this would never happen, but I think the only way you could quickly turn around the declining career of Dolph Ziggler is if Matt Hardy were to show up and make him into, delete him and turn him into broken Dolph Ziggler.
I guarantee that would work.
It would work, but it's never going to happen.
I would not expect it, but he needs something.
Yeah.
You know what he needs is a heel turn.
Join the Wyatts or something. I don't know.
He needs a heel turn.
I have an idea.
To not lose for a while. I think that would go a long way. Yes.
Greatest idea in the world.
Put him.
Bring back the Varsity
Club. The Strowman jobber spot.
Nah. Varsity Club. I'm telling you. I'll explain this when we get back.
All right. Back in a moment with the Varsity Club. Observer Live, Sports Byline USA, Radio Network.
When you struggle with credit card bills every month, you're not just in debt. Debt is all around you.
I see people every day that are on the brink. They're going to go over the edge, and at the bottom is bankruptcy, and we pull them back.
At the Debt Helpline, we're experts at helping you resolve your debt problems and become free of debt. We can help you pay off your debt and give you one lower monthly payment that you can afford.
You do get to consolidate your payments. You only have to worry about making one payment a month instead of making three or four or five.
If you have $5,000, $10,000 or more in credit card bills, call the Debt Helpline now for a free confidential debt analysis.
800-957-6063. 800-957-6063. Call the CESI Debt Helpline right now for a free confidential debt review. 800-957-6063. 800-957-6063.
Tired of paying outrageous prices for Viagra? Well, we have great news for you. Now you can finally get Viagra at huge discounts. Healthy Man allows you to save up to $500 on Viagra. Why pay U.S. pharmacy prices of $15 per pill or more when you can get Viagra for less than $3 a pill? Call today and get 40 Viagra pills for only $99. This can cost as much as $600 at your local pharmacy. You can't afford not to call us. If you want Viagra at the lowest prices, never pay $15 a pill pharmacy price. Prices again. Get Viagra for less than $3 a pill. Call 877-663-7126 today and save up to $500 and get 40 pills for just $99. Healthy Man is fast, easy, and affordable. Operators are waiting at 877-663-7126 to take your call now. Call 877-663-7126. That's 877-663-7126. Again, 877-663-7126.
This is Glenn Hagee, America's Master Handyman, with a Grainger Tip of the Week. Many items that we depend on require batteries to operate. All batteries are not created equal. New battery technology is improving battery power and longevity. It is important to keep batteries fully charged. Only use the same size and style recommended by the manufacturer when replacing them. Be sure to insert batteries correctly to avoid any damage. And now, a word from Grainger.
The safety oath. Repeat after me. I will safely bring safety to my facility and keep it safe. I will safely keep my people safe. I will put safety first in everything I do, and I will safely do so with Grainger. When you think safety, think Grainger. Grainger's got over 100,000 safety products to help keep our facilities safe and our people safer. When it comes to safety, Grainger's got your back. Call clickgrainger.com/safety or stop by. Grainger, for the ones who get it done.
You are listening to Wrestling Observer Live with Brian Alvarez and Mike Sempervivi on the Sports Byline Broadcasting Network.
Back here on Wrestling Observer Live, Brian Alvarez here, WrestlingObserver.com, Mike Sempervivi, who is about to tell us his Varsity Club idea with Dolph Ziggler.
Do you remember the Varsity Club, Brian?
Oh, yeah.
Mike Rotundo. Rick Steiner.
Rotunda.
Or Rotunda, yes, because WWF owned the O when he left.
Rotundo so. Was Vinny's lucha name.
Yes. El Gordo, mucho dinero. But yeah, they were awesome. And that's all I need to say about that. They were awesome, and it's so obnoxious that if done right, a reboot of that actually could always work. It really, really could. And Dolph, as this gum, you know, as he chews his gum, he's just smacking it as a prick, as he once was, standing alongside like Jack Swagger, looking extra obnoxious in an Oklahoma singlet, and you could have some other people there where you could make that work at least for a little bit. And playing with American Alpha, I'm not saying that we're going to take this back to the glory days of, well, at least what I consider a great time of tag teams around the same time the Varsity Club was around, with like the Fantastics and the Samoan SWAT team, the Road Warriors, Doom. There were a lot of really cool tag teams at that time coming off of like what we think of as the glory days of the Midnights and the Rock and Roll and Tully and Arn and that sort of stuff coming into this newer era. I think you can pull that off, and I think you have the guys on SmackDown like Swagger and like Ziggler, where if turned heel, at least for a little bit, you can get something out of that.
I want to mention, by the way, that we don't have an update on Terry Funk, who appeared at the House of Hardcore show last night and did a rather concerning interview, really. I guess the content was concerning, but when you watch it, basically he got in the ring and said, I don't want to get out of this ring because I will never be back in one again, or something of that nature, which sounded very concerning. But then about 2 minutes later, he got out of the ring, and he was happy and smiling and waving. But there were people backstage very concerned about Terry Funk. He's been encountering some health issues, and we don't know what's going on. But I know people are very concerned, and it's obviously public now because it was talked about at the show. But hopefully everything turns out okay with Terry. I'm hoping that maybe it's just a situation where his doctor says, you're all right, but we just don't want you flying anymore. And that would restrict his appearances at wrestling events greatly. But I don't know. That's speculation.
He had some dizziness, I guess, is the speculation that he was having throughout the day. And who knows what reason that could be. I mean, he's 72 years old, and he's Terry Funk. If he just happened to be dizzy that day, you know, he happened to be dizzy that day. It's hard for me to believe that Terry Funk won't be stepping foot back in a ring, at least to give another speech saying how he never wants to get out of another ring again. So I don't think this is the last time we will see Terry Funk in a wrestling ring, although I guess maybe the days of him being a second are out, because I guess the one of the other concerning parts, or why people were concerned, was because Terry was supposed to be a second to Tommy Dreamer as he faced off against Matt Hardy to offset Senor Benjamin, but he was not able to do that, and I believe Joey Styles was the one who took his place.
If you want to give us a call today, the studio line, 425-488-0525, toll-free 844-411-5411. And text messages, 425-780-7566. Toll-free line, you're on the air. What's going on?
Yes, this is Kenny from Gallatin, Tennessee.
Yes, Kenny.
Anyway, I want to speak real quick about the pending sale of TNA to WWE. Basically, I can think of only three scenarios.
Wait. Did you say the impending sale to WWE?
Well, I mean, it's rumored. I know I've been kind of following it about, or with Ring of Honor.
Okay.
Really only three ways.
Hold on. Kenny, I hate to cut you off, but there's nothing to that rumor. It's not true. WWE is not going to be buying TNA.
All right. So basically that was just a false rumor, right?
Yes.
Oh, okay. Well, anyway, since we've been talking about Terry Funk, you know, it's kind of sad to see that his health has been in decline like that. But, you know, I mean, for a guy that has lived as long as he had and has taken the abuse that he's had over the years. I mean, a lot of ways I am kind of surprised that he's only 72, you know, but still with the mileage that he's had, I'm more impressed with the fact that he was able to even at least come out like he did. I mean, no, you're just talking about it all, but I may talk about that a little bit.
Well, he's middle-aged and crazy. I want to thank you very much for the call. Yes, the rumors online that WWE is buying TNA, or they're going to buy TNA. I mean, who knows? Maybe if something strange happened, I mean, it's not impossible that it could occur. I'm sure they would like to have the tape library if they could get it cheap, but they're not in negotiations to buy TNA right now. And I can also tell everybody who was listening to Wrestling Observer Live or Wrestling Observer Radio last night that the story, I think it was the New York Post, had the interview with Billy Corgan, And they were talking about the sale price of TNA being $40 million. That did not come from Billy Corgan. That, I don't know where that came from. But the story, it mentioned in this interview with Billy Corgan that TNA's value was $40 million, or they were looking for $40 million or something like that. That did not come from Billy Corgan. And I don't think that that is going to be anywhere near the selling price of Impact Wrestling.
Talk about Terry Funk. His brother, Dory Funk Jr., who has always looked 75 years old, is 75 years old. And he'll still get into the ring once a year, if not twice a year. I believe he got into the ring twice a year the last couple of years. But yeah, Dory Funk Jr., 75 years old. People forget about him when they talk about the Funks because Terry is just out there so much. But yeah, Dory will still come out of the woodwork too, and I believe he's still semi-active at least when it comes to training guys.
The person here says, oh, it's Ryan. Answer that.
Mm-hmm. Is there punctuation? Is it one big run-on sentence?
He says, Forbes reported the bid that WWE made to buy TNA. Let me tell you something about the Forbes website.
Forbes.
Essentially, anybody can have an article posted on the Forbes website.
It's like a Wikipedia.
So Forbes, like the magazine, did not report this. And it's inaccurate anyway, so it doesn't matter. It doesn't matter who Garbage. Reported it. It's not true.
Garbage.
There's no bid put in by WWE.
Mm. Tell you that right now. If they want anything, it would be the tape library, and that is it.
Last night, there was a UFC fight night. Nothing you need to go out of your way to see, really. Actually, I take that back. There is something you should go out of your way to see.
Mm-hmm.
The opener was Chaz Skelly against Maximo Blanco, who is not, in fact, a luchador. Maximo Blanco has a reputation of coming out and doing crazy things, and so him and Chaz Skelly had the same idea at the same time. If you've ever seen an old martial arts movie where two dudes run at each other and leap in the air and they both throw a flying side kick at the same time, kind of what happened here, except Chaz Skelly did a running big boot, sort of, and he waffled Maximo Blanco. They go to the ground. He puts him in a choke. I know there's a great deal of debate online about exactly what kind of choke it was. Was it a Darce? Was it an Anaconda? It doesn't matter. He choked the guy. The guy went unconscious because I'm sure that Maximo Blanco was thinking, there's no way I'm being choked out in 19 seconds. But he did. Unconscious.
It's a great.
And then and it gets better. Chaz Skelly afterwards explains in his promo, I wanted to come out of the gate and do a flying drop kick, but I'm not athletic enough, so I had to settle for the Hulk Hogan big boot.
Yes. And it was great. And this is the fight that even I don't care how big of a fan you are of technical martial arts, of whatever it is that got you to the dance, whether it be jiu-jitsu or karate or wrestling, whatever it is. This is the fight that as a fight fan, you hope one of these takes place at a show where you have some friends over who are casual friends who you'd really like to become like big MMA fans. As dumb as it sounds, this is the kind of fight that they love because it's just so great. It was like Brian described. They both come out there Tiger style, trying to throw the kick on each other, and they hits the ground, and it doesn't matter what kind of, it was a big brother choke. He just went behind him and choked him, and that's what it was. It's like a fight like on the schoolyard. They slammed into each other, fell down, jumped on top of him, locked on this choke, and that was it. Sometimes this happens, and guys just fall asleep that fast, and that's exactly what happened here. It was by far the highlight of the show, and it was the fastest, what was it, 14 seconds, whatever it was the fastest stoppage in lightweight history.
19 seconds. You know, maybe it's because I watched so many fights, and I've watched so many fights in my life, but there are fights that go to decision that I like afterwards, but in general, I so am not into decisions. I want to see a finish. And thus, although there was some good grappling and some good fighting, Evan Dunham looked good, and I think it was the Islam Makhachev-Chris Wade fight had a lot of great grappling, but I just didn't care. But I did enjoy the two quick finishes in the main event. Derek Brunson beat Uriah Hall, 1 minute and 41 second TKO. Uriah Hall, the man that unfortunately Dana White said was the next Anderson Silva, he now has a 5-5 record in UFC. I don't know what you do with the guy. Michael Johnson, in a big upset actually, knocked out Dustin Poirier, 1:35. Now, a lot of people were very impressed, but I believe, I don't have this in front of me, I think Michael Johnson was coming off two losses. So I'm not sure.
Well, he should have beaten Nate Diaz.
Anything can happen.
It's like Melvin Guiard, in a way, different fighter, you know, but it's like when they're on, and they can be so exciting and so great, but, you know, when you want to bet on them and put the farm on them, it's like they'll have a performance and like this one with Uriah Hall, you know, although not to that extent. And it's just, it's hard to get behind them fully.
Phone calls, emails, text messages, and more when we get back here on Wrestling Observer Live on the Sports Byline USA Radio Network.
Hey there, travelers. You going somewhere? Need a hotel? Then call Hotel Wiz anytime, day or night, for rates too low to publish. You can save up to 75% on over 500,000 hotels across the globe and get our best price guarantee with no booking or cancellation fees ever. We've got some of the lowest hotel prices you'll find in New York, Chicago, Las Vegas, San Francisco, Washington, D.C., and a lot more. Don't waste your time surfing for deals. Make a free call right now and find deals too low to publish. Save up to 75% right now with no cancellation fees. And to make it even easier on you, we're here 24/7 to help. So call right now. Bookmark us in your cell phone. Whatever you need to do, just pick up the phone and call this number for hotel deals that'll knock your socks off.
800-507-3777. 800-507-3777. 800-507-3777. 800-507-3777.
Do you use the blue pill to charge your sex life? Have you been thinking about trying the blue pill? What if we can promise you the same results for less than $3 a pill? If you're paying $20 a pill for the other pills, you're getting taken to the cleaners. Our pill delivers the exact same results for less than $3. We'll do the math for you. You'll save more than $16 a pill for the same results. Want more? We'll give you 40 blue pills or 40 yellow pills for $99 and add 4 more pills free. You save more than $500. You don't have to be a rocket scientist to know what to do next. You need to call and get your 44 pills for just $99. Stop overpaying for the other blue pills. Call us and start saving a ton of money for the exact same results. Ordering is fast and easy with your pills delivered to your door in a non-marked package. 800-223-0992. 800-223-0992. 800-223-0992. That's 800-223-0992.
Pedro Fernandez here. You might know me as the host of Ring Talk Live Worldwide, but this time I'm here to talk about that four-letter word everybody dreads, pain. If you have back pain or knee pain like I do, hey, you should know about the Health Alert Hotline. I'm talking about if Medicare is your primary medical insurance, and guess what? You can qualify for a back or knee brace or a shoulder brace for little or no charge. Anything to help me with the pain, hey, makes it more manageable, gets my attention, folks. I love the free delivery, and they take care of the paperwork for you. So if you have Medicare and need help for your back, ankle, knee, or shoulder, guess what? Give the Health Alert Hotline a call, toll-free, 1-800-428-1570, 1-800-428-1570. You can qualify for a back or knee brace or a shoulder brace for little or no charge, 1-800-428-1570, the Health Alert Hotline, 1-800-428-1570.
You're listening to Wrestling Observer Live with Brian Alvarez and Mike Sempervivi on the Sports Byline Broadcasting Network.
Tonight, Dark Matter Digital Network, 9 Pacific, midnight Eastern. I'll have a new After Dark Radio talking Phantom Clowns, which will be followed by Carl Stern's Dragon King Dark, also talking Phantom Clowns.
No, thank you.
Check it out on the Dark Matter Digital Network, available on TuneIn Radio, darkmatterdigitalnetwork.com. And speaking of shows, Mike, what's up with the Twitter beef with the Filthy Tom?
Apparently, I have one. Yeah, I have no feud with Tom Lawler.
I'm reading right here. Josh Nason's Punch Out, Mike Sempervivi's origin story, and Twitter debate with Tom Lawler.
Man, I don't like to write these headlines, man. Look.
What the hell would the debate be anyway? I thought you guys were on the same page.
Well, we pretty much are. Now, basically what Filthy did was he basically misrepresented a quote of mine. He was so angry after the Punk thing. I sent a tweet out after we all found out what CM Punk got paid. Now, I prefaced this by saying that I had watched and commented all weekend on a interview that Ariel Helwani had with Joanne Calderwood, who is one of my – I love Joanne Calderwood, one of my favorite fighters. And she was talking about the fact that she had to haggle and fight for a new deal and scrape for a new deal and talked about how difficult it was to have to pay a nutritionist, you had to pay a trainer and all this stuff. But she was able to get a new deal, and Ariel asked her how she liked it. And she said, hey, you know, it's good. And I was like, oh, okay, good. At least she got a new deal. You know, I think, you know, a lot of these folks absolutely deserve it. And then, you know, everything happens with CM Punk. We see exactly what he was in the fight. And then after everything's said and done, Punk gets paid. We find out it's $500,000 flat, you know, on top of any pay-per-view that he may or may not be getting. And Calderwood had $25,000 to show. And basically, for me, at that point after the fight, with everything being said and done, with anything you can say about the commissions or Punk or his trainers or the UFC or anybody that should have stopped this or never let it go on or whatever you want to say, basically, the money was salt in the wound after the fact to me. And at that point, anything that happens with the money, everybody should be kind of turning their heads and looking at CM Punk, but then looking at the hand that wrote the check. And I wrote a tweet that said, if you're that upset with CM Punk making $500,000, you're in Joanne Calderwood making $25,000 and the kid who opened the show making $10,000. Your anger is misplaced. Now, Tom was so upset over what happened with CM Punk, he took that as a shot that he can't criticize CM Punk for making the money that he did. And that wasn't my point at all. My point was just very simply, this is one of those times, much like a lot of fighters talked about after James Toney got his $500,000, that this is bull. And a lot of people have been talking about this pay scale for quite some time. So this was a big slap in the face. And if you're a fighter, I can see obviously why this is part of your disagreement. But that little part in that tweet that he actually took and ran with had nothing to do with that. It had everything to do with, look at the UFC and their pay scale of what they have for these guys. And it constantly over and over again, whether CM Punk is there or not, it's not going to change things for those guys. They're going to be in the same spot.
Well.
And that's all that tune was about. And
maybe I'll get in a fight with Tom about this pay scale thing.
You know,
I'll fight everybody about it.
It's on its way out the door, at least. And we can have a new ridiculous, you know, type of deal, I guess, coming up here with Bellator and their tentpole events. And, you know, now we're going to have Chael. We're having the possibility of Wanderlei Silva. We could see God knows where Bellator could run. But, I mean, there's some smarmy things that kind of go in with the Chael thing, too. I mean, on both sides of the ledger. I know, you know, the UFC grants him a release. For what reason? For what reason would they do this and give Bellator any ratings whatsoever? Why would they do it? Yes, Chael could be a headache, but still, you'd figure they'd want to keep him somewhat under thumb. Is this just to make everything look good as far as an antitrust sort of thing? I mean, a cynic could say that. You see Bellator pick him up, and you hear about these names get bandied about of who he could be facing, and it's like, okay, so where are you going to run Wanderlei Silva and Chael? You know, in Texas?
England.
Well, yeah, I mean, anywhere you can.
Japan.
Where you can turn your head at things. I mean, hey, it is what it is, and it is Bellator. It just, again, I hope there
Hold
should
on,
probably
let me cut
be a
you
little
off.
More outrage for this too.
Let me go back to some of this pay stuff right here. Listen to me. I don't care who gets mad at me. I'll talk to Tom on Wednesday about this. I will say that if Filthy Tom fights at UFC and he gets $30,000 to show and $30,000 to win or whatever, and then Sage Northcutt fights and he gets $50,000 to show and $50,000 to win.
Mm-hmm.
Okay, that does kind of make me mad.
Mm-hmm.
Because Sage is getting $50,000 purely because they think he's a good-looking guy, and they think he's going to draw.
Yes.
No proof that he's ever drawn a dime.
Buying a future.
Okay, that makes me mad. That does kind of make me mad. However, if we have determined that CM Punk was worth $5 million in revenue, then I have no problem with that guy getting $500,000 for that fight. Not one bit do I... I don't care if Joanne Calderwood got 25, 50, 10 bucks to fight on the show. That's a discrepancy that there shouldn't even be a comparison there. One person drew 200,000 additional buys, and Joanne Calderwood drew one. You!
But no. Well, you could look at it that way. You could also look at it as it doesn't matter if CM Punk's on there or not. I am all for a guy getting as much money as he possibly can. I'm also for fairness as far as letting some of those other fighters have some of that, too, because at the end of the day, you can't have a fight card that just had CM Punk on it. I mean, you'll draw a certain number of buys to it, but you wouldn't have drawn all of them. If you're just going to have a one-off, one-fight special pay-per-view with CM Punk on it, you need these other fighters. And for me, this is a little bit of a bigger issue because when all of that money rolls in later on for these guys who are pocketing it right now, which is cool. That's great. They'll be able to have the top flight, medical care that they need later on in life. But will some of these fighters who are putting their lives on the line when they only get $25,000 and they have to pay out all of these other groups, when you could very easily let some of that trickle down to them and build them up, because these are the people who are building your business on the backs of their health, and you need them to have fights. And for me, that's more of the issue than comparing it to CM Punk, which was one of my problems with Tom. It's like, look, he's going to get what he's going to get. And that's why I think some of the outrage after the fact about the money, that confused me a little bit too, because it's like, well, what did you expect the guy to get? And that's why I think at least for the fighters who got upset, it was more salt in the wound. So I'm not going to hold that against him, because it was on top of all of this other stuff, not believing that he should be there. I think that's what their outrage was.
Listen, this is what angers me, okay? So I don't think that CM Punk should have fought in the UFC. Okay? I don't. I don't think he should have. I look at my buddy Wang. Wang has more competition experience than CM Punk. Wang has at least done some grappling tournaments. CM Punk didn't even do that. He was a fella with a name who did some training and had no combat experience, amateur, professional, grappling tournaments, nothing. That guy shouldn't have fought in the UFC. However, because he was CM Punk, he deserved to be paid to draw money, which he did. So I don't have a problem with that. The fighters that get really mad about this, I mean, I know I'm going to make people mad, but listen, I'll even give you an analogy for myself here, okay? In 1999, when Dave and I were on IATA, and it was, I can't even tell you how much they paid for the IATA studios. Like millions and millions and millions and millions of dollars. They were in Times Square. They spent millions of dollars on advertising for IATA. Millions. There were so many millions of dollars going through IATA. You know how much I was making? $0. I didn't even get $25,000 a show. I had $0. Now, I could have just not done it. Right?
Yeah.
But I didn't. I took another job. Because I wanted to do it. Now, eventually, because we were the number one show on IATA,
wow.
I worked my way up to $200. Every 2 weeks, I think it was. $200. But I still did it.
You're comparing that to a major professional sports organization that is
yes,
on par.
Yes, I am.
If
Joanne Calderwood is unhappy making $25,000, or what did she make?
$25,000.
She doesn't have to fight. And there's Bellator. Do they have a women's division? Maybe there's not Bellator. The point of this is, it's like, it's any job, right? Am I wrong about this?
Yes, you are. I guess you are fair about this, but...
It's like any job. If you're not happy, if you're working, throw out a job so when people don't get mad that I just throw out a random job. You throw out their job for me.
Garbage man?
If you're a garbage man... And you're unhappy that you're making $10 an hour. I mean, listen, if my garbage man didn't pick up my garbage, you know what trouble I'd be in? I'd be in a lot of trouble. I'd have so much garbage around here. That man is so important to my life.
Yeah, you might want to pay him, you know?
I can't pay him. But my point is, he can not be a garbage man. Or he could quit if he's mad. I mean, I pay my garbage bill, you know what I mean? Point is, I don't run the garbage company.
Mm-mm-mm.
But just like any other job, why is fighting... Here's my only question. Why is fighting different from any other job?
This is... We're looking at the UFC as a... This is a sport, Brian. You're attaching... Again, you're touching a sport onto everyday life. You cannot make that direct line comparison at all times. And yes, people don't have to fight. That's true. That's absolutely true. So if there were no fighters, we'd have no fight organization now, would we? And we'd have nothing to talk about. So I would like these people to fight. But I'd also like, with knowing what we know about sports, with knowing what we know about taking care of athletes, with knowing what we know about how much UFC makes and how much they've made off their TV deal and how much they've been able to save off of these fighters who they strong-armed basically into deals where they are independent contractors, but much like WWE, they're not really, and they've lost the money for the games and they've lost the money for the sponsorships. You know, it's okay to let it trickle down. I'm not saying make everybody rich. I'm not saying put everybody on the same scale. That's not how this works. Ronda and Connor and your people like that are always going to deserve more money. But you know what? Everybody could stand to deserve a little bit more money, especially because you know what these people put out as quote-unquote independent contractors, and you know some of the health issues we've seen with other fighters before, the same way we see it with other athletes. I'm not asking for utopia for everybody. That's not how all of this works, but I am asking for a little bit more trickle-down, because that type of supply-side economics only works when it's in the hands of these fighters.
If Joanne Calderwood called UFC tomorrow... And she said, I'm not fighting. I cannot fight for $25,000. And then, where's my show last night? And then Chad Skelly and Chris Wade and Roanne Carnero and Rick Glenn and Derek Brunson, they all went tomorrow and they said, I'm not fighting for $25,000. I'm not fighting for, I can't. And they just stopped fighting. Guess what? The pay scale would increase or the company would go out of business, correct?
Yeah, and that's something, you know, you have a little bit more power when you're united.
Well, they're not going to unite, so right now, I mean, don't fight.
Yeah, people trying. It probably will never happen, but you know what? This may be as ripe of a time as any, and we're going to see with Boris and with some of these other people, but it's like I told Josh Nation, it is kind of amazing they make this announcement of the Professional Fighters Association with some named people, with the backing of big names of other labor heads of other sports, including the very powerful Donald Fear, who is would be a great resource for anybody interested in labor. And guess what? I got about 2,000 more Twitter followers than them. That ain't good.
Back in a moment. Observer Live, Sports Byline USA Radio Network.
Tired of paying outrageous prices for prescription drugs? Well, we have great news. Now you can finally get prescription drugs at huge discounts from Canada Drug Center. That's right, the most popular drugs for cholesterol, high blood pressure, depression, diabetes, arthritis, and many more are now up to 75% off. Why pay U.S. pharmacy prices when you can get brand name drugs at the lowest price? Call today and get up to 75% off all the popular brand name prescription drugs. Never pay high prices again. Get the most popular drugs at huge savings from our Canadian and international pharmacies and fulfillment centers. No insurance? No problem. Prices are so low you do not need benefits or insurance to get all your prescriptions fast, easy, and affordable. Operators are waiting to take your call now. Order today and get free shipping. Just call 800-950-1180. Up to 75% off all the popular brand name prescription drugs and free shipping. Call 800-950-1180. That's 800-950-1180.
Do you have an old car sitting in your driveway? How would you like to learn a hassle-free way to get rid of it, help kids in need, and get a great tax donation in the process? It's real easy. One simple free call to our car donation hotline is all it takes. Call the Neshama Foundation at 800-760-4895, 800-760-4895. We'll come pick your car up for free and give you a tax donation for the full value of the car, running or not. The value of your unwanted car will go to help kids in need. It's fast and easy. Just call us and your car will be gone and on its way to helping children in 48 hours. And you get a nice tax deduction. Call the Neshama Foundation now to get rid of your car, help kids, and get a tax write-off.
Call 800-760-4895. 800-760-4895. 800-760-4895. That's 800-760-4895.
This is Carrie Cooper for Guitar Center's Focus on Rock. Shop for the greatest selection of music gear on earth at guitarcenter.com. There's always a sprinkle of mystery and magic when we consider the man, woman, girl, or boy behind a song. Join me over at focusonrock.com, where we look at the girl behind the inspiration for Harry Chapin's 1972 hit Taxi. Who was Sue in the Taxi? How did they meet? And why did she inspire such beautiful creativity in the late, great Harry Chapin?
Whether you're creating new music, recording, or performing live, Guitar Center has the gear you need to bring out your best. And going on now, you can save up to 30% on select gear during our singer-songwriter event. Get a Martin X-Series acoustic electric guitar for just $5.99, a Latin percussion cajon for $79, or a pair of AKG K52 headphones for just $29. Don't miss your chance to save on everything you need to write, record, and perform. Guitar Center's singer-songwriter event is going on now, in-store and online.
You are listening to Wrestling Observer Live with Brian Alvarez and Mike Sempervivi on the Sports Byline Broadcasting Network.
So Raw's tomorrow. And if you recall in last week's show, Mick Foley told Seth Rollins, you may not interfere in the main event.
Nobody remembers that. Nobody saw it. Remember, he got a 1.88.
Oh, yeah. Well, he did interfere. And so Mick Foley said, we need to go have a talk. And now we know what the consequences of that talk were.
Mm-hmm.
Tomorrow on Raw, because he interfered last week in the main event, Seth Rollins is being punished by being put in a match with Rusev. That's the payoff.
I think this is still leading to more of cahoots between Rollins and Foley, but I'm going to have hope in this. I'm going to have hope. I'm also going to have hope.
Cahoots? What are you talking about?
That they're actually working together here, and they are actually on the same page, knowing Stephanie is out there and believing that something is up with Triple H, and not... I believe that. I honestly believe that.
They also announced TJ Perkins, Brian Kendrick, Rich Swann, Grand Metalik, Cedric Alexander, Noam Dar, and Lince Dorado are all going to be on Raw Monday. So my guess would be 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6. Probably a 6-pack challenge to guess to determine who will get TJ Perkins at the pay-per-view based on my math.
See that, or a wacky 6-person tag team match. Who knows?
Well, we need a challenger, so it's got to be a match. It's got to be a match where there is a single winner.
You got to hurry up on that one, too. So, yeah, I guess so. But, hey, Bears and Eagles might be the best of weak matchups this year. So that's the best way for the Cruiserweights to debut.
Out of time, everybody. Thanks, Mike, as always. All the folks at Sports Byline, we're here every day, Monday through Friday, noon Pacific, 3 Eastern. So get ready for more tomorrow. And we'll talk to you then. Wrestling Observer Live, Sports Byline USA Radio Network.